We're rolling.
On the air.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 7 of the Bort Podcast.
Summer edition.
Summer edition. We are on
shorts and t-shirts.
Shorts and a tee. I didn't get that memo, but I did get the tee memo, so that's always good. I think one of the things that we have to adjust in this podcast is our communication around outfits.
Well, it's at a necessity. Our air conditioning is broken here at the office today. We got doors open. We've got fans everywhere.
It just sounds like it's the worst. It's not. I'm feeling great. I've got ginger ale. I've got water. We're thriving.
It's a big topic here at Port St. John today. No air conditioning.
Well, there you go. I think the episode, we can just cap it off at that. No AC and we're done.
No AC. Some people didn't even come in today.
I don't blame them. It's okay. It's a nice day. Thanks, everybody, for turning back in. We've had a wild couple of months since we've, I guess, left you. Not in the dark, but we've just been busy. You've probably been seeing a lot of our stuff and our videos on social, not so much in the podcast format, but in a lot of like videos, a lot of just keeping you up to date, I'd say. And, you know, we've been very busy since Port Days, which was anticipated, but maybe not as maybe foreseen, right? So
a ton of activity. We've opened the new pier at the container terminal. We've had our first 2 container ship day. A ton of events on cruise, amazing social media content earlier this week.
First lift. Yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah.
As someone like, as you guys have kind of gotten to know on screen, I'm learning so much about the port every time that we're here working and going out and getting to visit cruise ships for the very first time. And it's been a pretty wild experience just learning how a lot of these things actually work logistically and just, you know, the hard work that goes in behind the scenes, right, to actually bring in these big ships and a cruise ship and to, you know, facilitate people having a great visit. And I think even it surprises me as a resident here just how much work goes into the welcoming crew and, you know, just the whole experience of bringing people here and bringing product here and getting it elsewhere. I've just been completely a big nerd about it. So,
well, and you get to experience a fun thing on a cruise ship this week. Tell us about your lunch.
So, you know, again, as you guys know from, you know, some of our social, I'd never been on cruise ships before. And, you know, we've gotten the opportunity to go tour a few ships and really see some just things that we've never seen. And we've really wanted to bring the audience along, you know, the way, because why not just bring everybody for a ride, right? You got a big boat, you bring everybody for a ride. So I think for me, I was very, very surprised just about how much of focus is on customer service on every element, whether it's a giant ship like Oasis of the Seas or like the Zanib, like on the Holland America lines. Like, it was second to none. Customer service is top notch across the board. And I see it from the moment that we step into, you know, just like the freeway area or, you know, and I see it right from just when people are scanning our passes. Everyone is so excited that we're there. And the ship was beautiful, stunning. The tour guide was phenomenal. But when we got to dinner on the last ship, we got to go to this amazing buffet. So, you know, your girl Kate got to have just a bunch of different things. And I'm a picky eater. So being able to have like baguettes and fries and jello, I just was in my element, right? Where some people really like fancy, fancy dinner. So when we got to this experience, it was really, really just all out. And it was the inaugural visit for this vessel. So, you know, they really went above and beyond to have such a special lunch for everybody that was there visiting and dignitaries from City of St. John, federal government. Like, it was really just phenomenal.
Big deal.
The dining room was stunning. It felt like I was on the Titanic, I'll be honest.
It did. Well, and Holland America is celebrating their 150th anniversary. So that's kind of what they were doing in Portsakal that they've had numerous returns to, of St. John being one of them. They did the same thing in Halifax. 150 years kind of brings you back to that Titanic era.
Just, and I think too, like with everything that's been going on, I know, like, not to bring up Ocean Gate, but I think it's people still have a deep admiration and fascination with learning about, you know, vessels, new vessels. Like, we've got the Icon of the Seas coming out in the few months. Like, I think there's just a really big fascination with, you know, just ships in general. So obviously taking people along for the ride is fun, but when you're actually surprised too, it's really refreshing. So
you're all in on the cruise industry.
I
love it.
I'm ready to go. Natalie,
for someone that says they didn't,
let's go. I'm ready to tour.
For someone that said you didn't want to be on the water.
You know, I think the Oasis of the Seas really changed, you know, my view of it. It's not like just going on a baller ferry. It's really, they really take care of their guests.
Yes.
From every element. It's a very safe, inclusive way to travel. Very And when I say affordable, I know that not everyone just has money to travel, but what I'm saying is that if you're looking for something to do with your family or with a best friend or your kids, a cruise ship is a really great way to do it. Because even if you were going to an all-inclusive resort or Disney, or you're saving up for something like that, there's so many different things to do and so many excursions. And then get this, you port at different places. So the memories you can make in different places, it totally changed my view on how people travel and go cruising. Also, I love the fashion. So, you know, to go back to dinner was phenomenal. Like just like I'll have to, I think I have a, I took the menu with me, so I'll have to put up a picture of it if I've got it.
You took the menu.
I did. She said, do you want to take it as a moment? I said, absolutely I do. I don't know if I'll ever have anything like this again. But they had like this beautiful sea bass with like potato puree and these beautiful, and I watch a lot of Hell's Kitchen. So I'm very into food. I just don't eat a lot of it.
You're going to make people very jealous hearing this. We're going to have to, we have a program. Years ago, we had contests to get people on and.
Oh, really?
And have lunch on a cruise ship.
Well, I'm trying to bring everyone along for the ride as best as I can, guys. So if you have questions or anything like that, or, you know, if you're like, we need to have a contest, then make sure you send the Port of St. John a message and we'll have to rally the cruise lines to get us on.
So the other interesting thing that's happened in the last couple of days, we have a luxury yacht. You must have brought your yacht in for a couple days.
You weren't supposed to tell anyone, Craig.
Yeah, Pugsley slip.
I was trying to be inconspicuous.
Right next to Area 506, who's hosting the big country music boxcar event this weekend, there's a beautiful, luxury yacht with a full crew. So any below deck fans and fans of reality TV on these
below
decks,
so much.
We have a yacht that I think would be very comparable to the one you see on the show.
Oh, I'd be such a good first stew. I'm really good at organizing, really great at cleaning, really good at managing a team. Thanks to my team keeping me in check this past year.
You may have to go check it out.
I actually might because that stuff is, like I said, it's very intriguing to me, but. Yeah, the dinner was phenomenal. They had a really incredible tenderloin as well. What did you get?
I had the beef.
You had the beef. Okay, yeah. So and they had this really
a little heavy for lunch. Had to have a nap in the afternoon.
But. And they were really, really like showcasing the wines and things. But yeah, a little bit early.
A little bit early.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing dessert. But you know, just overall, just a really great experience for people to be able to, you know, come and visit our city to be comfortable and relax. And I did see. Our photographer who's filming this episode right now that you can't see, she was down at the Diamond Jubilee filming a really cool experience with Acadian sturgeon.
Yes, the caviar.
With some of the crew from the port. And that was really cool learning all about like what him and his team have been up to and, you know, their take on, you know, sustainability with like, you know, sturgeon fishing and like, I found that to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, we had events for crew and other passengers too. Like crew's one thing we've really talked a lot about this year with the Container Village. We've got a dedicated area for crew on ships. They can go on Wi-Fi, talk to their family, and we really feel that's a big deal. A lot of the folks that work in the cruise industry are from all over the world, and they don't have access to Wi-Fi all the time, or they're in spaces where they're, you know, at port where they're next to the passengers that they're working, you know, kind of working to have that experience on the vessel. They don't get their own time when they're off hours. So we've really tried to cultivate a bit of an experience in the Container Village just for crew away from passengers.
I was really, you know, just, I thought it was very thoughtful, like walking through and just seeing that. And I know that you guys put a focus on that with like the seafarers and stuff as well. I think that's, you know, it is important. And sometimes the journeys are long and the service isn't always, you know, great. So it's great to have a safe place where you can go and like reconnect with your friends and family. I think that's great. Yeah. I think when I've been looking at everything that's been happening, like you said, like with 506, the yacht's in, new pier, new, you know, just first lift and everything, like it's been really exciting. And like, what do you kind of see happening like over the next like few months?
Well, the last few weeks we've seemed to have a lot of kind of monumental moments and you know, anniversaries or new beginnings that we've been celebrating. I think there's going to be more to come. One thing I'm really excited for, I don't know when it's all going to line up, but there will be a moment here in the next couple of months where there'll be two or three cruise ships and two container ships at the same time. So to see the Inner Harbor with that level of activity that we haven't seen in decades, I think will be a big moment. But maybe before I, you know, we talk a little bit about going forward. I think you mentioned something earlier. I want to talk a little bit about port days.
Yeah, we're gonna do a little beep and we're gonna rewind to port
days.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe it's been almost 2 months.
Yeah.
Since we had that event. And
hard to believe, but also like absolutely, because it's really only been like a few short months and it's been a lot happening, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I would have to say that business session that was held on Thursday, July 1st, has got to be a highlight, you know, of at least my 12 years at the port. I mean, to have people from Nutrien and Campotex and our rail partners, CPKC, have their president and CEO be our keynote, Mr. Keith Creel, at lunch, and talk about our port from their perspective and what they see as a growth opportunity, I think was beyond what a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
And stretched the imagination of a lot of people in St. John in the room. And that was kind of remarkable to see firsthand.
I think that's the best way you could have said it, stretch the imagination. Because even as like, you know, we went and we were there, we were, you know, doing some work. But at the same time, I watched a lot of people that you guys are, you know, doing a lot of really important work with have aha moments, mm-hmm. just by being in the same room with each other and it not being over Teams or email and just being able to actually see where these potential opportunities are already happening and where they potentially could take these other, you know, companies. So
no question.
That was really, really cool as someone on the outside who's just kind of been in the port ecosystem for a little bit. It was really cool to watch that happen and just to kind of see the proudness that was happening in the room with so many different people.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it's important. I think that's why we have the show, is it's not just to show, you know, people having caviar or to show cool cruise ships. It's to showcase what's happening in our city and in our community so that it's a more thriving and more sustainable place to live, play, and be. I think that's what we want for everybody. We want everyone to be, happy and healthy and to make a good living wage and to have a safe place to live and, you know, to be able to go see some entertainment once in a while. And I think that's ultimately why we're trying to communicate this in this kind of format, is to bring people along for the ride, keep you informed of what's going on, bring you along for the ride as well. So if you want to know even more, or you want to know, you know, vessel arrival dates, like we'll let you know. We can keep you, you know, as close as possible. But, you know, I think for us, it's just a matter of, you know, keeping everybody along for the ride, because I think that's what keeps, you know, us all great and collaborative partners.
One of the panels that led into that that keynote at lunch from Mr. Keith Creel was had a CPKC, one of their senior folks who's been a big part of the growth in St. John, Jonathan Waba, who has spoken at many events here in St. John and about the port, to keep the momentum alive for Port Days. We're going to have Jonathan call in.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited, hopefully on one of the next episodes and chat a little bit about his perspective of Port Days, but then all the things that have happened in the coming months. Also, the plan is I'm going to speak at a chamber event this fall as well, and try to give a little bit of a recap of Port Days as well, and what's all the activity that's occurred since then.
It's really been quite astounding to see a lot of the work that happens. And I've already seen, like, you know, a few folks like Jill and Paul already working on Port Days 2024. Because so much goes into it. It's not just, you know, a 2-day event where, you know, some signs get ordered, some branding happens, and some people speak on a panel. It really is a lot more than that. And, you know, I to be quite honest, if you've seen any of the photos online, one of my favorite parts were actually the bus tours. Because it's kind of like when you're in school, and you have to go sit at a table with people you don't know for the first time, or at an event or in a theater, or you go somewhere. And I was watching people sit beside one another that maybe wouldn't have sat beside one another, that then started having conversations that then I became buds with a couple of people that we hung out with the whole conference. Talked about music, talked about, you know, them coming back to New Brunswick because of how beautiful it was, staying at an Airbnb uptown. And I think that was, like, the bus tour was probably one of my favorite parts.
I think it was a highlight.
Yeah, Seafood Fiesta was really cool, like seeing people just kind of, like, unwind a little bit, take the the business. It's hard
no
to take
speeches.
Business.
No just speeches. Just a fun night.
Just a fun night, you know, lots of food and good friends and people catching up. That was really great. I'll be excited to talk to Jonathan a little bit about, you know, what the reception has been from, you know, his stakeholders or like the shippers and importers, like just from what's happening here in St. John. Because obviously it's it's a win. I think for our, like the partners as well as it is for the port. And it's very interesting to see online when we're referenced as someone who, you know, works on the comm side for the port. It's really, really cool. It makes me proud to do work for the port when I'm seeing people tag us and, and it's on the CBKC side or on, you know, Hapag Lloyd, whoever it is. Seeing that growth has been really cool.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of stakeholders at port days and then in the aftermath that for a city and a port of our size, we really punched above our weight at that event. And I think that's what we try to do in every interaction that we have.
Was there something like at port days that totally surprised you? You didn't think that you would?
I wouldn't say surprised, but one thing that was really great to hear from Nutrien and Canpotex, because we've talked a little bit today about crews and containers, and that's obviously a big focus for us. But on the bulk side, potash kind of helping the world be fed.
Right.
And from an agricultural standpoint is a big deal. And what we learned at Port Days from a lot of the senior folks and on their panel was that St. John was going to have a big focus and our volumes were going to go up. And that has happened already. We are seeing record potash day after day go through the port. We've got ships that are out on anchor waiting to come into the facility, which is quite rare for the Port of St. John. But we've got really good fluidity with respect to potash and all the it's all being railed from Saskatchewan 5 days, which is a great national unity story as well. So things have gone well this summer. We're pretty happy.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And if you want to go a little bit more on a deep dive with us, go back to episode one.
Yes,
we talked to Doug Downey at Nutrien just a little bit about, you know, about what the company is doing, kind of what they were doing around Harbor Lights. And, and I think it showcases you, you know, the kind of people that are out there running that team and logistically making, you know, like you said, ships waiting out in the harbor to port, right? I think it takes a lot of hands on deck. And I think even for us, Naomi and I, we had a fun kind of experience when we were doing first lift, and we said to one of the guys, we said, this is so exciting. And he said, oh, might be excited for you, but until 12 o'clock tonight, when all the work is done and every last container is moved safely, that's when we can kind of rest.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, the work ethic from everybody at every terminal, there's not only just like proudness, but there is a level of work ethic. And I think something I've really learned here is the amount of work that's coming into the workforce side for opportunities here for people in St. John is massive. So if you're someone that's, you know, just coming out of high school or you're going into college or you're thinking about something or maybe you're thinking about just a change in life, I really think you should start thinking about work out on the waterfront and working with the port and working with some of these stakeholders, even if it's a tweak in some training or some settings that you might have to do educationally. There's a lot of opportunity. And I mean, it's happening here for sure.
Oh, and it's happening from kind of the unionized workforce at the terminals, management of the terminal operators. You could work on a tugboat. You could work, you could become a harbor pilot.
Yeah.
They've advertised several positions recently. You can come work at the Port Authority. You can go work for the rail line. Like it's an unbelievable amount of opportunity that crosses every educational and socioeconomic background. You can have grade 12 education to a couple of university degrees. We've got it all. And so I've got something interesting.
For a future
episode.
Yeah.
So back when Tanya Chapman was here, we talked about our 8-pillar strategic plan. Well, one this week, we received the first draft from Acre Architects about the visually appealing port. All of the areas that we want to improve community spaces in and around. And it was remarkable.
I can only imagine.
So I think we should have Monica and Stephen.
Absolutely. For those,
I think a lot of people know Acre in St. John, but if you don't, Monica Adair, Stephen Kopp, world-class architects. They've got partners like the Brackish Group on the landscape side on this project, but many, many other partners. They are world-class
and
great people.
Fun fact, Monica Adair was in the Navy. She was actually one of the very first female naval pilots out here.
I did not know that.
Yeah, when she would actually do ships, I remember her telling me this story. She told me that when they would haul the ropes, when she came to St. John and they were like visiting, the captain at the time made her do it where she was visiting home and made her do the ropes and tie it off. She is a, pardon my French, but a badass.
Wow. My wife's in the Naval Reserves and was in the Navy too.
So cool. Like,
there's a lot of people I think in St. John.
And I think it's a really I wish I had done it when I was in high school, like gone into cadets or been part of that ecosystem. Cause I think it's such
a lot of belonging,
a lot of really just like good hard work ethic, just sense of urgency is there, people wanting to lend a hand, and just forever friends. You know, so Monica, you're going to be watching this because I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah.
and you're going to be on the next show, because they would be phenomenal.
They would be it would probably be the highest viewed one. I think Acre, in my opinion, has a following that extends, you know, beyond St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. They really have a perspective that's more global than I think a lot of people realize.
The other thing she said to me one time that really hit a mark about her company is we were doing a project management seminar once, and we were both speakers on a panel. And when she was talking about really what the goal was with Acre, was that they wanted to make 100 impactful stories by 2030.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure they're about 3/4 of the way already. I bet. And we're in 2023, and I can name probably even just 6 projects.
Well, here, that the housing project on Union.
Yeah,
is stunning. How deliberate they've been to have people from, you know, all backgrounds. Yeah. L'Arche, the partnership with L'Arche, yeah. Who's a group that we work with at the Port of St. John. The fact that they've been so deliberate about building these relationships with unbelievable nonprofits, I think we could have a lot of content. So between Acre, Jonathan Wabaugh, CPKC, who's a superstar in the rail industry, we got some big episodes coming up. We're talking about greening port initiatives and decarbonization. We've got some exciting guests coming up. So today it's kind of our summer transition, and we're going to be ramping up this podcast in the coming weeks and months.
And we're excited, so we hope that you guys, you know, enjoyed this part one of our Port Days recap episode. Yeah. And, you know, on the next one, like Craig said, we'll have a little bit more of a deeper dive into some of the panel sessions, you know, talk to Jonathan a little bit about, you know, the reception of what's been going on here in St. John on his side of things, and, you know, just give you a couple more updates about what's going on.
And you're not allowed to join the crew of that yacht. You got to stay right here with
us. I'll still be here for episode 8, guys. If not, we'll just get another blue-haired young lady to come in and fill in for me. They're around.
Too funny.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
And until next time, see you.
Enjoy the summer.
Thanks so much for listening.